The reading today is taken from Exodus chapter 15 and can be found on page 72 in the Pew Bibles. Then Moses and the Israelites sang the song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has hurled into the sea. The best of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea. The deep waters have covered them. They sank to the depths like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, was majestic in power. Your right hand, O Lord, shattered the enemy. In the greatness of your majesty, you threw down those who opposed you. You unleashed your burning anger. It consumed them like stubble. By the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled high. The surging waters stood firm like a wall. The deep waters congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy boasted, I will pursue, I will overtake them, I will divide the spoils, I will gorge myself on them, I will draw my sword, and my hand will destroy them. But you blew with your breath, and the sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who among the gods is like you, O Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders? You stretched out your hand and the earth swallowed them. In your unfailing love you will lead the people you have redeemed. In your strength you will guide them to your holy dwelling. The nations will hear and tremble. Anguish will grip the people of Philistia. The chiefs of Edom will be terrified. The leaders of Moab will be seized with trembling. The people of Canaan will melt away. Terror and dread will fall upon them. By the power of your arm, they will be as still as a stone, until your people pass by, O Lord, until the people you bought pass by. You will bring them in and plant them on the mountain of your inheritance, the place, O Lord, you made for your dwelling, the sanctuary, O Lord, your hands established. The Lord will reign for ever and ever. When Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and horsemen went into the sea, the Lord brought the waters of the sea back over them. But the Israelites walked through the sea on dry ground. Then Miriam the prophetess, Aaron's sister, took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women followed her, with tambourines and dancing. Miriam sang to them, "Sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, thank you for coming this morning. Thank you for singing along for all the songs that we've had so far. And as you have just heard from this passage that we just read, we're thinking about singing and music this morning in our Bible passage. I was a bit surprised when I saw the passage that I've been asked to speak on this morning, because it seemed to fit quite well with a lot of the stuff that I've been involved in over the last few years. I shared with you last time I spoke about how Gemma and I and our kids, we all lived and worked in Mali as missionaries for 10 years, although this week we'll have been back in the UK for a whole year now, so we're feeling a bit more acclimatised. Something that I got involved in, particularly in the last couple of years that we were in Mali, was to do with worship and music. And that wasn't something that I had ever planned. It's not my background. I'm not a great musician. I had piano lessons when I was a child, but didn't really stick at them, didn't practice enough, so I'm not as good as I should be. But But I ended up being involved in the creation of some worship music with the people group, the Saninki, that we were working among. And I'm going to share a story a bit later about how that came to happen. But it is it just struck me as a happy coincidence, or maybe it was all God's plan, that this should be the passage that I was asked to speak on this morning. This passage that we've just had, we've just listened to, is actually the very first example of a worship song that's recorded in the Bible. This is well before the Psalms. This is well before any other times where it talks about music and dancing and playing instruments. This is the very first recorded example of a worship song. But it doesn't come as a big shock. Oh, this is suddenly a very new thing. It seems like it's already part of the culture. It's a way of acting for the Israelites, for the Israelite people. If you've ever seen the film The Prince of Egypt, then according to that, then they were singing an awful lot well before this happened. But I'm not quite sure how biblically accurate those songs are. But this is the very first song that that is recorded, and yeah, as I say, singing was already part of their culture, their way of doing things. And it says at the very beginning in verse 1 that Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord together. It wasn't just one person. It's titled the Song of Moses and Miriam. We'll come to Miriam in a bit. But it doesn't mean that Moses actually wrote all this song all by himself. I think the fact that he was part of the community that came up with this song. He may not have been the author. He may not have been the composer of the music. There may well have been somebody in the community who took on that role. In a lot of cultures, we have this role of a singer who will go to special occasions and they will come up with songs. That's just what they do. We definitely saw that in West Africa. So this song is actually something which is a community effort. They've all come together, and that's how they have come up with this song to praise God. So let's have a look at some of the details of the song that Moses and the Israelites sang. So it starts off, "I will sing to the Lord, he is highly exalted, both horse and driver, he is hurled into the sea." That's a good summary of what is happening in this song. It's that we're praising and worshipping God for what he has done. In the next verse, they are recognizing who God is. So hopefully, if it's playing, yeah, we've got, hopefully the PowerPoint will play ball throughout the talk. But we've got the first few verses, we've got praise and worship, and we've got recognizing who Jesus is. Sorry, recognizing who God is. So, in here, the Lord is my strength and my defense. That's recognizing that God is the one who provides for them. And actually, you see, particularly in verse 2, that there's a lot of I, there's a lot of my. It's a very personal thing for the relationship between God and his people on an individual level. Then this it carries on recognizing who God is. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. That everybody wants to remember who God is. And then it goes on to give some more details about what God has done. We're remembering what God has done for the Israelite people. It's an attitude of gratitude, of thanksgiving. Now, a couple of weeks ago, Shane was speaking, and he talked about the importance of remembering what God has done. And this is a very clear example of how the Israelites remembered what God has done. They put it into a song in order to remember. And actually, you see from these verses that it's growing from it's not just the small personal I-my relationship. It's the whole community that is affected by all of this. So it goes from small and personal to God's relationship with the whole of Israel. Okay, he is it talks about Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has hurled into the sea. He didn't just do that for one man. He didn't just do it for Moses. He did it for the whole community of Israel. So we've got here a retelling of the story of the escape from Egypt. We've covered this in the last few weeks, talking about how the Israelites escaped. It doesn't give all of the details, but it talks specifically about the Red Sea and how they crossed it. It's a way of helping the Israelites to remember what happened, a way of committing it to memory. This is not a culture where there was an awful lot of reading, there was an awful lot of writing everything down, but it's in a song is a way of remembering and passing that on to people in the future. And it's obviously worked because it's part of the Bible, it's part of the scripture that we read, and we know what happens. And this song is a way that it would have been passed on through the generations. It's also continuing to remember who God is. And it says in the greatness of your majesty, you threw down those who oppressed you. It's God is more powerful than any other enemies who come up against him. But it also talks about how the enemies fail to recognize who God is. Verse 9, the enemy boasted, I will pursue, I will overtake them, I will divide the spoils. The enemy is convinced that they're going to be the winners. But then in verse 10, they have to actually recognize that, no, God is more powerful than they are. That's what happens to them. You blew with your breath, the sea covered them. Their efforts are all in vain. They come to nothing. So they may be still self-promoting, self-aggrandizing, but ultimately they have to recognize who God is and that he is more powerful than they are. So that leads us on to verse 11, where there's a recognition of God's ultimate power and authority. Who among the gods is like you, Lord? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glory, working wonders? God is way, way above anybody else that we that anybody worships. Now, these words are actually quite familiar to us. This is similar to the words that we've heard in some of the songs we've sung today that we sing on a regular basis, recognizing God is the King, God is Almighty, God is greater than any other. Thing that can be worshipped. So it's a familiar sentiment to us, and that God is incomparable. You can't compare him to other gods because he's just so much bigger than all of them. And that leads on to the next couple of verses, that it's a reminder of who God is, but this reminder is not just for the people of Israel. It's not just for the Israelites. It's for other nations as well, to hear of God, to hear of his reputation and his ultimate power. Okay, so we see that in verses 14 and 15. You see, the nations will hear and tremble. Anguish will grip the people of Philistia. The chiefs of Edom will be terrified. The other nations around will hear about what God has done for the Israelites, and they will think, hang on, this God does a lot more than the gods that we worship. And he's got this ultimate power that is referred back to in verses 16 to 18. So that's how all of this stuff comes together, that we've got these few different things, and of course I got them all to begin with the same first letter, so easy to remember, that in the praise and worship, why do Christians sing? Because they're recognizing who God is. They are remembering what God has done, and there's the reputation to pass on to remind others of who God is and what he has done for them. And then this passage also talks about Miriam's song. So Miriam's song is much shorter, okay? It's verse 21, sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted, both horse and driver he has hurled into the sea. One of the commentaries I looked at suggested that this might be only a little bit that they've remembered, that the song was much longer and a lot of it has just been lost. But this bit is just key. And that's perfectly possible. But I think it's also worth pointing out that the words that Miriam sings are the same as in verse 1 about what Moses and the Israelites sang. So they've used this part of the initial song as another form of praise and worship. And he talks about how she played a tambourine, there was dancing. It was probably a very different style of worship. And that's, I think, quite key as well, is that we have to recognise that there are different styles of worship. We can come in, we can sing hymns with lots of great theological truths within them. We can also sing much shorter, more much simpler songs where we can talk about who God is as well. And both of these are absolutely legitimate ways of worshipping God. It can be more serious and theological. We can have other songs which are quite a lot of chanting, quite a lot of repetition, quite a lot of maybe even dancing going along with it. Okay, so you can all jump up and dance at any of the points in any of the songs that we're singing. So we've got two different examples there of different ways within the same culture of people worshiping God for who he is. Now, that's quite a quick summary of this passage that we have been looking at this morning. But that's not all that I was going to share with you, because I think there's a challenge to us about how we worship. And that's how I wanted to share about the worship that we got involved with when we were in Mali. So, hopefully it'll come up. Yeah, there's a picture of me with a guy called Mamadou, and here's another picture of Sajo. So these are two of the Saninki believers who we got to know while we were in Mali. Now, these guys had been believers for a few years, in Mamadou's case for many years, and we went to visit them up in a village quite remote that we went to once, and Sajo asked at one point, he said, "Why don't we have any songs to worship God in our language?" Now, to explain a bit about the Saninki are what's called an unreached people group. They don't have huge numbers of believers. There's no church to speak of among them at the moment. There's small groups here and there of believers, but there's no big movement of churches or regular fellowships yet. And with the believers that we know, we have talked about how we can encourage them to do praise and worship and singing. But there was always a degree of reluctance. When we said to them, you can pray, you can worship God in through prayer, but you can also worship through music and dancing, they said, no, that's not appropriate in our culture. They're a strongly Islamic culture, and they say, no, we have to be reverent. We have to be serious. We can't just be disrespectful to God by doing all this music. And so they'd always been very reluctant to do anything like that. So the time that we were with some of these believers, Mamadou and Sajo, we said they had said to us, "We want to have music in our own language." And that's not something that we'd heard from some of the other believers. These guys had actually had some exposure to some of the churches in Mali. There are churches in Mali, they're just not Saninki. There's lots of different people groups, and the Saninki people don't have their own churches. But the Bambara do have a lot of churches. Now, the Bambara is the biggest people group in Mali, the most dominant, and most people can speak the Bambara language even if they themselves are not Bambara. And that's the case for these two guys here. So they could go to a church in Bambara. They could sing the songs, which they knew perfectly well. They could understand them. They had no problem with that. But it still wasn't the same. The two languages are not very, very close. It's not the same as speaking to God through music in your own language. So that's one of the things which was a challenge to all of us. Yeah, so these guys had exposure to music in churches, but they hadn't had their own language that they could sing in. They couldn't sing songs in Saninki to worship God.
So I took this request to the partnership that we had with other missionaries working among the Soninke. This is in different countries, in with different missions that we had a partnership meeting. And I said to them, can we do something about this? Can we respond to this request from Soninke believers? And so we started off by actually doing something with the group there. There's the small number of believers who had been very reticent, and saying to them, this is a biblical imperative. They were looking at Psalms. They were looking at David singing and dancing before the Lord. They were looking at these different passages of how it is biblical to sing and dance and make music before God. And so that was a really important thing for them. And they actually, some of them just changed their mind instantly. They said they'd been so reticent before, they'd been so reluctant, and then suddenly they're, oh no, actually, we do need to do this. This is something that we should be doing. And so then it was a question of not whether we should do it, but how we should do it. And so we then had to think of who were the best people to get in touch with about this. And eventually we got in touch with a guy who was an ethnomusicologist. Is that a word that means anything to anybody here? No. Whenever I use that word in front of a congregation, people give me blank looks. But an ethnomusicologist is someone who studies music and culture, particularly in mission circles to do with worship music. And so we met David, who is an ethnomusicologist from Nigeria, and he was very keen to encourage people to find music, to find ways of worshipping God that was culturally appropriate. And he said, let's set up a workshop where we can bring together some believers to do this. And so that was the plan. We were going to bring all these people together. Then there was a whole load of delays that happened. So things always take a long time to happen. And then obviously we had the pandemic happened, and that meant that traveling over large areas was just not possible for a lot of people. So we eventually planned dates when we could do this, and it was going to be this. I think the initial request from these guys had come in 2017. It was 2021 when we actually managed to arrange the workshop. But then, very sadly, just before it happened, only 6 weeks before or something, Sergio, the younger man here, he died. And we were really shocked by it. He was a young man. He had a family. We had lots of hope for him as a leader amongst the Soninke. But he died. And in their culture, you don't ask questions why. They're far too fatalistic about it all. So it was something very difficult for us to deal with. But when we did have the workshop, we did acknowledge his passing, and some of the participants were able to go and pay condolences to his family afterwards. But so that was a big blow to us, but we could still continue. So we could then actually bring these people together. So these people were some Soninke believers. There's 11 of them in total. We were keen to have men and women involved in this. And we got them together to do this workshop. And then it was thinking, how can we create culturally appropriate songs that are ways of worshipping God in Soninke? And there was a pretty clear way that David set out for us to do it. We had to analyze the sort of music that already exists in Soninke culture. When do you sing it? How do you sing it? What sort of rhythm, melody do you get in it? Analyzing those types and then thinking, are there Bible stories that we know that would fit those existing types of songs? And it wasn't too difficult to do that. There were lots of Bible passages we could do. And then in the groups that we split into, we could study these Bible passages together. And then hopefully somebody in the group could just come up with a very simple tune. How can we put words in this Bible passage? How can we turn that into a tune? And how can we create a song around it? And it was a very, very simple process, actually. So it was quite a surprise even to all the participants. On the very first morning, they said, oh, we want to do this, but we have no idea how. By lunchtime, they had created their first song altogether. They'd gone from zero to having a song that quickly. That's how straightforward the process was. And then through the week, we could do a whole load more. So there were quite a few different songs. So you can see that we had a few We had quite a lot of fun doing this. We even had a makeshift recording studio that we set up so they could all sing out to their heart's content. And it was all quite an unusual experience for them, but they all seemed to really enjoy it. And then I thought it'd be good to share with you what one of these songs actually was. So we've got this one here, which is all in Saninki. Makajiki rankuti andanka mangadome. I'm sure you understand that really well, don't you? Okay. So it actually means, do not despair, you and your Lord are together. Okay, and this song was inspired by the story of Jesus healing the paralyzed man. The story where he's lowered down through the roof to Jesus, and Jesus heals him. So that was the story they read, and this is the song that one group came up with. Makajiki rankuti andanka mangadome, and then they've got all these other bits. Mumunte, murukunte, hinkinte, watunte. Those who can't speak, who can't walk, who can't see, those who are injured. People who have physical disabilities, do not despair. You and your Lord are together. Okay, now hopefully this will work to play the song for you. Okay, so that's just a snapshot of this one song that they came up with that week. During the whole week, they came up with about 12 or 13 different songs, and we managed to make some simple recordings and then later added in a few instruments and things like that. So it's all sounding really good now, and it's a great encouragement. And we've seen how that has changed. The Saninki believers that we already know, they're like, no, this is amazing. And there's a lot more I could say about how this all happened, but I don't really have time to do that now. But yes, it was a huge encouragement to us to see people who were actually, for the very first time, praising God in their own language with music and song. So it was a huge benefit to all of us. And of course, even more so, a huge benefit to all of them. So let's bring our time doing that to a close. So let's remind ourselves again, why do we sing? Why do Christians sing? It is to praise God. It is to worship him. As we've just said, so many of the words that we've used in these songs that we came up with have been to do with praising God for who he is and recognizing him and remembering what he has done for us. And it's also to tell others, to remind other people of who God is, what he has done as well. So we remind ourselves, we remind others, and hopefully that's a way that we can further God's glory in what we do. Amen.